Hello and welcome to the Camping Crew Podcast with Chris and Aaron.
Hi everybody, welcome to episode 166 of the Camping Crew Podcast. I'm Aaron Burchell.
And I'm Chris Byrne.
It's meant to be a fun podcast. We're just enthusiasts and what we discuss on the podcast are just our own personal views, although we do look into things that you ask us to look into.
If you'd like to support the podcast, and if you can afford to, you can buy us a coffee at ko-fi.com/thecampingcrew. I want to say a big thank you to Rita for supporting us, and she left a nice message saying she looks forward to Wednesday mornings.
Why Wednesday mornings?
Thursday mornings, I'm sure she meant like.
Rita, why Wednesday mornings? Please tell us a little more. We'll give you the contact details at the end of the podcast. Right, we're on to news where we always kick off. And the Road Safety Authority, bad news for people who speed, use phones or don't wear seatbelts.
I suppose it could be good news if people obey it. But there's a headline in RTE today, actually, and it says, fines for road safety offences to double from tomorrow. So there's 16 road safety offences where the fines are going to double from tomorrow. They say in the change you'll see the fine for speeding, for example, go from €80 up to €160, while the penalty for mobile phone use or non-wearing of seatbelts and failing to ensure that a child is properly restrained will double from €60 to €120. You know, fines will be doubled for other road offences that put safety of vulnerable road users at risk. So you can check that out anyway. There's a good bit of information there outlining what they are on RTE.ie, and it's in today's headlines, and the headline is there's fines for road safety offences to double from tomorrow. So look, just a word of caution, just be careful out there. We should be doing that anyway, irrespective of the fines and the penalty points and that.
I did see on their Twitter today when they posted that up this morning, I think it was announced around lunchtime, just before lunchtime today, and I see one guy commenting, typical money-grabbing government. And I'm kind of going, it's a safety thing. Yeah, you know, if you don't speed, they're not taking your money. If you wear your seatbelts, if you stick to the rules, they're not taking your money. I just thought, typical money-grabbing government.
Yeah, I tweeted it out as well if anybody wants to find the article. But look, as I said, a word of caution. We should be... everyone should be in seatbelts. We shouldn't be speeding anyway. So it'll leave a nice bigger hole in your wallet now if you're caught.
It will. So you can check it out on RTE.ie, and it's on their Twitter, it's on their Instagram. It's everywhere. Listeners, messages, follow-ups and shout-outs. Darren was on to you during the week.
Yeah, Darren sent us a message there. Darren has been to the hub in Greignamana a number of times, and they dropped him a message, and they basically offering free weekday stays during the month of November there at the hub. Now there's a good bit of a talk on Facebook about that as well. So you know, if you arrive up to the hub or book in at the hub in November midweek, you can stay for free, or if you want electricity, you just pay a fiver for your electric hookup. That's pretty decent, Darren, because most schools have their midterm next week. Yeah, so a lot of families will be off and out and about. So I think that's really decent out of the guys in the hub to do that.
I mean, if you don't need electric hookup, now you can always still leave a donation, because they're also, Darren went on to say, with the darker evenings coming in, they were highlighting the fact that they need public lighting in around the site. And to do this, they are going to try and raise funds for that. So it's free unless you take an electric hookup, but there's no harm in sticking a few bob in an envelope and throwing it into the letterbox, because the guys do great work down there. And it's a voluntary organization and group of men and women that are running the place. But it is fantastic. If campsites would just reduce their prices, maybe, or maybe it was suggested if campsites just open at the weekends during the winter. And I don't think people would mind even paying a little bit more if we had places to go at the weekends during the winter.
Well, when you say paying a little bit more, yes, I think if you're plugging in and stuff like that, because winter electricity, if people are running the heating, especially at the new rates we're all on now, it's going to be extra expensive. But yeah, look, yes, if you're using electricity, I think it's great marketing from the guys at Greignamana. It brings people down to the campsites who might not have been there before.
Or to the
parking.
And brings people down to the town. Yeah.
And by all accounts, anyone who's been at Greignamana in the past have definitely gone back again. It's one of these places that once you've been once, you'll go back lots of time. And it all seems to be judging by the pics on Facebook, and it all seems to be a great crack down there.
It seems to be a great, great crack. And of course, our friends at campingstuff.ie have a shop there, an actual a physical shop that you can go in and purchase camping stuff as well. Now, the thing about it is, maybe during the winter you could roll up, but you are supposed to book your pitch by going to hubbookings.ie. Now, maybe during the winter you could roll up, but they would prefer if you would book online. But just remember, it's free from Sunday to Thursdays, unless you want electricity. And well done to the guys at the Hub and Greg the Manor for coming up with that idea.
And you got a message, Aaron, from Ben from the NEC show.
Yes, Ben, we were there. Well, we were there pre-COVID, and we didn't go over this year. But Ben did go over, and he says, "Hi, Chris. Hi, Aaron. Greetings from Birmingham NEC Caravan and Camping Show. I'm excited to be bringing my newly purchased 1971 Type 2 camper and trailer back to Ireland. Poor acceleration and no power steering means it's going to take a bit of getting used to. I'm wondering if you know of any classic VW van specialists serving or restoring guys in Ireland. It's in fantastic condition, but I would like some assessments. We are based in Kinsale and really enjoy your podcasts. Thank you for your time and great work. Regards, Ben." He also sent us a picture. Isn't it? It's like he got a fantastic 1971 Type 2 camper and a teardrop type caravan trailer behind it. And it looks immaculate. I did pass him on contact details to the only VW specialist that I know of, John, who's not too far from us here in Carrick. So hopefully if he can help him out, if he needs it, he will. But it looks fantastic and well wear. Hope to bump into you next summer at some stage,
Ben. Yeah, nicely colour-coded teardrop matching the van as well, which is great, yeah. You know.
It's beautiful. Rita was also on during the week via email. She says, "Hi, Aaron and Chris. I'm 72 and I started camping alone 2 years ago. Unfortunately, in one of my first outings, I tripped over my tent and I broke my leg. The following summer, I travelled Ireland with great success. I have a 4-man air tent that is easy to put up and also a big Agnes sleeping bag. And of course, all the mod cons that are needed for camping. I'm delighted to hear you're including more information on the tent scene in season 6, Aaron. As I camp alone, I like sites that are busy with lots of activities about. I'm looking forward to joining Fantastival Weekend next year. I'm all packed away now for the year, but I look forward to starting again for the May Bank Holiday Weekend in 2023. I spend my winter months in New Zealand with my daughter, and then we go camping in Ireland. Keep up the good work from Rita in Dublin." How bad spending the winter months in New Zealand and then coming back here and doing a little bit of what I call real camping, tent camping, at 72, Chris.
That's the way to do it, Aaron, I'll tell you now. And I can't wait for your season 6, where you're going to be off camping in tents on the campsites as well and telling us all about that. Fair play to you.
No, I think what she meant there is when I'm doing the reviews. Now, I did have a thought after reading that email, and something that you've said there has kind of sparked it. I suppose the odd weekend, if you can't get away as a family, you could always pitch your tent and come with Charlie and me, and you could give us a tenter's review on the videos.
Only if you change your name to Charlie, Me and Chris.
No, we'll just leave it as it is. And I look forward to bringing you all that information, Rita, during season 6 of Charlie and Me, our camping vlog. And thanks for getting in touch, Rita, and stay safe and enjoy New Zealand. And I'll say it to you now, it's probably too soon, but happy Christmas. Reese was on to you. Reese the Relay, who we met, of course, in February. He was down in April at the meet that we had in Kilkenny. He was on to you during the week.
Yeah, he shared a Facebook post from the Irish Motorhome Group on Facebook. A Padraig O'Carmida or Carmeda had put up a post. He has some land in West Limerick between Cork and Kerry, and he was offering some secure parking for free. You know, he says he'd offer like water, waste disposals, no electricity, obviously. He said, unless you have a medical need and they try and help you out. He just wanted to know, would there be any issues allowing other fellow motorhome owners a free spot for a night or two to park up on my own land? He says he won't be charging at all. So, you know, he said, should I put up signs saying park at your own risk? Does anybody else offer any sort of parking facility like that for free? And he offered advice. Look, I think it's fantastic out of Padraig to offer something like that. Yeah. It's amazing, actually, because he included a picture on that post if anyone wants to go back and have a look at it. But, you know, a lot of the feedback, people were saying, look, it's very risky for you as the person offering it. You know, obviously there's public liability. You're probably going to have some sort of insurance. And unfortunately, you know, it's open for a lot of abuse as well from people. You know, will people take advantage of you or all that? You know, what are your own thoughts?
My thoughts when I saw that first were purely insurance, because the way things are in this country, that literally you can't go to the shop without proving that you have insurance. It's fantastic, as you said, for to have somebody offer the use of their land. My fear is similar to yours, that people will take advantage of it. But my real big fear is somebody getting out of the van, they trip in a little pothole. It's you they're going to want to sue. So public liability. Then if you have to pay public liability, obviously then you can't, you know, you're going to have a charge. And then you're going into the whole, are you an heir? Are you a campsite? It's a pity, really. But it's a great facility if it comes together.
There might be an opening there for a law change or some sort of, say, loophole in a law that, you know, if you're opening your land or your property for the public to use, you know, be it the right of way or somewhere to park up, you know, as long as you have signs there, you're parking at your own risk. It takes the liability off the person offering those facilities. But to be honest with you, I can't see something like that happening anytime soon.
No, I remember years, and we're talking 20 years ago, and I know things have changed even more, probably 25 years ago. You'd go into a shopping centre car park and you'll see cars parked at owner's risk, but they still have to have public liability. And I know of one chap who had his four alloy wheels stolen from a shopping centre up in Dublin. And when he came back, they were gone. And he went down to the security hut and said, my wheels are gone. And they went, pointed at the sign. He won his case. He went to court. He got his four wheels and a few bob. So I'm wondering, is signage enough? I don't think it will be.
No, I don't think at the moment, but I wonder, is there an opportunity maybe to change the law to make it kind of at your own risk to protect the person, again, who's providing the facility out of the goodness of their own heart, you know?
Well, let's keep an eye on Pádraig's post and on the Irish Motorhome Group. And I'm sure if there's any changes, Rhys will get back to us, or we might see it ourselves and we'll keep you guys informed. Or if you have an opinion on it, we'll give you the contact details. If you had land, maybe it is something you thought of doing. What turned you off doing it, or have you done it?
Yeah, an interesting conversation piece, all right. And Bill and Carl left a review there not so long ago, Aaron, up regarding O'Connor's in Doolin.
Yes, campsitereview.com is one of our websites. We have a forum there. It's free and it always will be. And Bill and Carol left another review. They've left a few during the summer. This is of O'Connor's Riverside Campsite in Doolin. And they start off by saying, we saw your review, Aaron, because myself and Charlie were there last year. We're just adding our own review based on our stay a couple of weekends ago. We couldn't get to Nagel's as they were closing for the winter, so we ended up in O'Connor's, situated in the heart of Doolin, with a view across the cliffs of Moher and the background of the waves crashing against those cliffs. This elevated campsite is in a beautiful location. We were given free choice of pitches. There is a sheltered section and a more open area beside the river, so we picked the latter. Windy, but picturesque. The large toilet and shower block is spotlessly clean. There is also a kitchen, a TV and games room, and well-appointed laundry room also. There are about half a dozen glamping yurts on site, as well as touring facilities. O'Connor's is open till the end of October, early November, extending its season. Like many other campsites are this year, it is a lovely spot and we will be back. The only thing I found about O'Connor's, which I mentioned in the video, was that river was a roaring river and there wasn't fencing. But I believe since then, fencing has been erected. If you like, I love Nagel's in Doolin. It's actually my second favourite campsite in the country. But if you like the rustic kind of park anywhere, now they are pitches, but like they say, they come in, and if you make that your pitch, somebody will not park right beside you. You know, there's going to be a gap, but it is right in the town centre, the village centre of Doolin. So it's ideal if you want to get away and have a bit of a session.
Yeah, that's very much its unique selling point, as well as great facilities there. You know, if you don't fancy that walk or drive from Nagel's up to town, not too bad anyway, like, but you know, some people might not like to do it in the dark, for example. O'Connor's is another option, and we've stayed there a couple times before as well, because our family were staying in a house almost next to it, so at that particular time it suited us. But a great spot,
and it's a great review from the guys. Yeah. Thank you very much. Campsitereview.com. The forum is there. It's free and it always will be. Charlie and me this week, no video. When we have a podcast, we've no video. However, the next video will be the first of our winter camping spot. So I'm visiting four or five places that are open all year round. Next week's is brand new, not this Friday, but the following Friday is a brand new campsite that opened in Limerick. More about that. It's called Croker's. It's actually in Ayr, but it will be a campsite, I'd say, by this time next year. And then I'm going to do for the whole month of November, I'm actually going to do the videos every Friday, because we will have four or five, there's four Fridays in November, and we will have four winter camping spots. So no video this Friday. The following Friday is Croker's, and then we'll have a video every Friday for the month of November, and then we'll take a break for December, with the exception of the odd info video that we'll get for you during the month of December. That's youtube.com/ Charlie and me, our camping vlog.
I saw a message in the UK groups, not the Facebook groups, but one of the forums and groups. I was just having a look there, and there was a couple of stories of new buyers getting scammed as well. You know, I know very much it happens here, and it's something we've covered in the past. But, you know, I think as new listeners jump on and people might be changing their vans, it's no harm doing a refreshing if people are listening to the podcasts in reverse order or whatever. But it's certainly some good advice. So as usual, we put an old list together of things to kind of watch out for and look out for as part of our tips and camping hacks section this week. So the first one, just check the price. If you're looking at a price for a camper van or caravan or motorhome, whatever it is, if that price is very low, ask yourself why.
Yeah, if it's too good to be true, it usually is. And don't forget, do a vehicle check. It might cost you 10, 15, 20 euro, but get the reg, go onto one of the many websites and apps that are out there and do a vehicle check, because there's nothing worse than you buying a van and a couple of weeks later, the finance company knocking on the door because there's money owed on that vehicle. You may not owe it. The other people may have had a loan out on it. So always do a vehicle check.
Yeah, that's really important. And, you know, it could be a different person selling it. There could be money owed to the bank. It could be her purchase, which is not completed or something. And you'll find out all of that as well. Like, you know, another one is, you know, check out the seller, do some research on the seller. Like if it's someone claiming to be a business, check out the business. Usually if they're a legitimate business, they'll have other posts out and people, you know, talking about them and see if the register. If it's a private seller, do a bit of a check as well. You can check out places like Facebook and others just to see how legit they are. You know, on its own, it's probably not the best thing to do, but certainly combined with some of the other checks we're going to talk about, it's well worth doing some background research as well.
Now, if you have decided that this is the van for me, do not, without seeing the van or at any stage, give out much personal information and never give out bank or post office or credit union details. Do not give out money details and literally just give them your mobile number and arrange then to go and view the vehicle. Under no circumstances, don't even give them a deposit. If they are trying to hard sell, they're trying to hard sell for a reason.
Yeah, and some of them are not even after your money, at least initially, they're after your identity. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you're saying, okay, look, you need to put a deposit on, give us your details, do that, you know, walk away.
Yeah, definitely. And as we were going to say there, scammers will try and rush you. A legit person will just, they'll take the time. The van will sell eventually, or the caravan or the car. So take your time. Take emotion out of the purchase. Remember, this is 10, 15, 20, 40 upwards grand, hard earned cash. So don't be too eager to sell it. There is a bum out there or a seat out there for every bum. You will get a van or caravan eventually.
Someone said, oh, if somebody on the way now tomorrow afternoon to put a deposit on the van, if you're not here with your deposit before, then you're not, you know,
Let them have it.
Yeah. There's if they're pushing you that hard, it sounds a bit dodgy, you know. And if what I've seen a lot in terms of scams here and in the UK as well is, I might be selling my camper and I'll put up a legitimate ad in one of the Facebook groups or in Dundeal, and I'll be selling my van at X price. What the scammers are doing is they're coming along, seeing my ad, they're downloading all the photographs I put up of my camper van, they're copying all the text that I have about the van, and they're reposting their own ads with my picture, my text, at, say, half the price that I'm advertising mine at.
with their
you're going to see this. Wow, look at this van, I can't believe it. There's another one for sale, and there's, you know, so they've basically just cloned my ad or cloned some other ad, and they're looking just to part you from your money and then disappear. So what you can do on Google is you can download a copy of the pictures, and you can do a reverse photo search within Google. It's called Google Lens. You can put up those pictures and search them, see if anybody else advertising those pictures.
Wow.
So it's really clever system that Google have, and it's useful. They use it's designed for, you know, you might see a photograph of a dress or a car you like or some item, and you do a search and find out who's selling it.
Right, right.
But you can also use it to your advantage to see if your the ad you're looking at is actually legitimate, you know.
Wow. So they could see then the original ad that you put up on whatever website you use.
If they see a camper van being sold for, say, 30K here on Done Deal, but it's going for 15 on Facebook or vice versa, you know, there's...
Wow, that's a good... And what's it's Google?
Just do... It's a Google Lens app, but if you on your smartphone, if you have the Google search app, you can actually do a photo search in there.
Now, when you do find the van or caravan or motorhome and you're not tech savvy and you're not sure about the engine and you're not sure about the interior, find somebody who is. You may have a friend. There are companies out there offering the service for a fee to go on your behalf, check it over, and they know what they're looking for. And either use one of those companies or bring a buddy that would kind of know their stuff. Do not go alone if you're not tech savvy. You can go back to Charlie and me. You can listen back to our podcast, but you're better off bringing someone.
Yeah, and I, you know, one of our earlier podcasts, we did an interview with Pat Butler in Waterford, and I know she goes out with people and looks at certain vans and helped them kind of negotiate. I know Paddy from Dacia Camper Repair, and that he's offering that service now as well. If you're looking at a van, he'll go with you and check it out. And there's other people in all different parts of the country will go with you and help look at that van. So, you know, don't go on your own if you're not au fait with the different pitfalls.
And then when you do get there, and if you don't have a professional with you, you just have your buddy with you, don't be shy. Ask the tricky questions. Really, really, really look into that van. And if they get upset and walk away, well, then maybe they're hiding something. If they say, oh, that's a stupid question, if they just fight you on it, just walk away and save your hard-earned cash.
And that's the problem. Like, people are going to try and offload a van that's got major structural problems or lots and lots of damp that's totally weak the van. You're going to shed out a lot of money that they've effectively scammed you out of it. So take somebody with you that'll spot these things before you lose your money, you know.
Another one that we have there is if you're meeting up with somebody, ask for ID and, you know, really check it, like give it a good look, a driver's license or whatever they have on them, not a kind of self-printed business card, you know, just do your homework and check that the person is who they say they are, that they are the registered owner that's on the logbook as well.
Yeah, that's really important. And, you know, as we said at the start, don't hand over any money until you've seen the vehicle and checked it all and you know the person's legitimate. And if you've checked a person's ID, you know, you've met them, you know, either at their home or at their business or somewhere safe, don't hand over a penny.
No. And try meet at their home or an actual address. Do not meet and view the van in a car park. Or at least if you're meeting them to view the van in a car park, do not purchase the van from said car park. You've got to try your best. I mean, when I was looking for the Jeep to do the Overlander, I must have looked at four of them and only two were legit people that said, oh no, come to my house. One was a little bit cagey and he met in the car park. And I got to be honest, it was everything I was looking for. And then he said, give me a deposit. And I said, no, I get the money. I'll meet you at your house. There was no house. So I never saw the man again. That Jeep just disappeared. So try, yes, go view it, meet somewhere, but do not purchase it or hand over a deposit in a car park. Do it at an address and preferably the address that's on the logbook.
Yeah, I think that's very important. It just legitimizes the person that's selling it as well, you know, and you've got somewhere to go back to as well.
Now, remember, if you're buying from British websites or French websites, European websites, there's going to be VRT, there's going to be tax added. It might only be £8,000 or £9,000, but then remember, our government like to get a chunk of that. So do your research if you're importing a van from, especially from the UK, Northern Ireland, or from any European country. Do your research. But most of all, on the money, do not hand over money and do not hand over personal money, bank, credit card, any kind of details at all. Because as Chris said at the outset, they may not even be looking to get your money. They just want to get access to your banking accounts and you're gone. You'll find it'll be empty tomorrow morning. If you have anything that we've missed, please do get in touch. We'll give you the contact details at the end of the podcast and we will add them and we'll bring this discussion up again on future podcasts. And if you are buying a camper van or a motorhome or a caravan, enjoy it when you do get it and just be safe and just use your head.
Right, we'll close out with camp life, where we usually kind of bring up like interesting topics of discussion. I thought this was a good one for this week, Aaron. On the Campervans Ireland group, recently a lady, Angela Lopez, put up a post about campervan swapping. And she mentioned a page there called swapmyvan.com. Now, I'm not promoting that page or anything, but I just thought it was very interesting. So on this page, you basically register. You look on a map of where you want to go across the world. Somebody in that part of the world is looking to come to Ireland. Basically, they arrange for you to get connected and you go and borrow their van for however long and they come to Ireland, borrow your van. So basically, like, it's effectively, as the name says, a van swap, you know. I don't know if I'm comfortable.
I wouldn't loan my son my van. Right. And then we're back to where we said about opening your land. Insurance. I know I'm with the Motor Caravan Club. And I know if I want to loan Gray my van, I've got to put him on the insurance. But he's got to be on it for the year. There's no taking him off and then loaning it to my cousin, putting him on the insurance, taking him off and loaning it to my aunt. So, again, how would that work? With I know this website is just providing the service. So I'm swapping with Gino in Italy. How does insurance work out? Gino comes over here, I go over there. I don't know. Do I just swap my van registration? There's a little bit of homework. It's a fantastic idea. It sounds like a great idea. It's like house swapping, but on wheels.
Yeah, it's not even an insurance thing for me, Aaron. I'm just not comfortable with people I don't know in my van, and I don't know how comfortable I would be going into somebody else's van in case I damaged it. You know how attached we all get to our camper van.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know, I'd feel awful if I damaged somebody else's van, and
you're not
I'd
thinking
awful if somebody damaged my van at the same.
Yeah, you don't mean damage like crash it. Do you mean like break something in the van and
crashing is the extreme side of damage. But anything, you know, just, and it's not even that. I don't know, just. It wouldn't be something I'd be very comfortable with, unless I knew somebody and I knew their van and they were friends and maybe then, but I still wouldn't be comfortable, you know.
Yeah, I've never. No, I won't say that. My very first camper van, buddy of mine, Ross, not Ross from the Camping Crew. In fact, I loaned him. I put him on the insurance for a year. We shared an apartment together. He took my van one weekend. And the only good side of it is he discovered Tree Grove Caravan and Camping Park in Kilkenny. I'd never heard of it. Now, this is long before Charlie and me, long before campsitereview.com. But that was the only good that came out of it. Like you say, I was driving it the following weekend saying, he drove the crap out of this, or that knocking wasn't in it before, but I think it was all in my head. But look, it's Europe, the United States. I can see that working in the States because insurance is totally different over there. Here, I think the problem will be. But as you say, it's not for everyone. So you will not be going on to swapmyvan.com and registering your registration.
Yeah, well, like, as I said, it's just like for want of a better phrase, it's like just connecting people together, like some of those dating apps. You know, it's a dating app for swapping your camp vans. You know, they clearly say on the site that they are not in any way liable for any damage to any vehicle, and it's your responsibility to arrange cover. So, you know, I know the insurance company here's to be quite strict, and I can't see him doing it. Like, no. The idea, I think, is really good.
Yeah.
And it could be an opportunity for insurance companies to make a few bob from this as well. Look, not everybody would be, you know, as weary as we are if there was an opportunity to do it. I know a lot of people do house swaps, and it works really well.
I think
countries.
A lot more people would be as wary as us. That do, we, you know, we do love our vans. I think there'll be more people would not do this than there are that would do it in Ireland.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. But look, at the same time, there could be a group of people that would be more relaxed about doing it. And, you know, I think there should be a facility for them to do it if they want to do. Add an extra top up to their insurance to put somebody on for a set period of time and...
I think the problem, well, I think here, Angela Lopez, the girl that posted this on Campervans Ireland group, it, basically she was talking about America and Spain. Now, for us to hit mainland Europe, it's not that expensive. Whereas if we wanted to head to the States, yes, you're going to either have to hire a van over there, or that's where this comes in to play. For us to go to Europe, it's not. So we would be thinking, I think, of our American cousins. However, it's the insurance over here.
And as we say at the start of every show, you know, we're not experts, we're just enthusiasts. If somebody has done this here in Ireland before, we'd love to hear from you. Did it work out? How did you manage insurance? Could be a great topic for an interview if somebody would come on and have a chat with us about it, how they managed it, does it work, you know, maybe insurance companies do cover it, and we're aware of it. We'd love to chat with you as well. So look, we'll give you the contact details shortly, you might let us know.
Yeah, we would love to hear from you. In fact, we'd love to hear about your messages, any ideas or campsite suggestions or reviews, any products or any news items that you want us to discuss on the podcast, or if you want us to go back and cover something that we've already covered on the other 165 episodes. A reminder that we do have stickers for your motorhome, your campervan, your caravan, or your car. We need your name, your address, and your postcode. But of course, for you to get them to us, you need all of our contact details, and Chris has them.
Our email address is campingcrewpodcast@gmail.com. Our webpage is thecampingcrew.ie. On Twitter, you'll find us @thecampingcrew. On Instagram, we're @thecampingcrewpodcast. In Facebook, you'll find us posting regularly enough in all the good motorhome and camping groups. If you want to leave us an audio message, you can record it on your smartphone and email it to us at the address campingcrewpodcast@gmail.com. Or if you go to our webpage, there's a link there on the front page to our anchor, the crowd that host our podcast, and you can actually record a message there and it'll come directly to us.
And can I remind you that we do have campsitereview.com. We have a forum there. It's free and it always will be. We have our YouTube channel, Charlie Amir Camping Vlog. For the month of November, we'll be back reviewing campsites every Friday. And we have charlieandme.ie, where you can purchase some of the Camping Crew podcast paraphernalia and merchandise, as well as Charlie and Me merchandise. That's charlieandme.ie. That is it for episode 166. Thank you for listening. And as Chris says, I'm going to steal your line here. Tell all your friends about us.
Goodbye.
Until the next time, take care. Bye-bye.
Well, that's it for another podcast from the Camping Crew. Thanks for listening, and do join us again very soon. Safe camping.